So today we're going to learn about God's hands on redemption. In the Haggadah, after we speak about Hashem hearing our cries, and we hear about the toil, the troubles, the difficulties that we have, we say, "Vayetzienu Hashem in Mitzrayim." God took us out of Egypt, biyod chazaka, with a mighty hand, uvizroya natuya, with an outstretched arm, uvimeira gadol, with great awe, ubeeses uvimevsim. So now the Baal HaGadah begins to expand. This pasuk comes from the story of Bikurim, from the Higad Te'ayim, from the things that we say. So we start to expound right in the beginning, Vayetzienu Hashem in Mitzrayim. The emphasis here is Vayetzienu Hashem, that Almighty God took us out. Says the Baal HaGadah, Lo Yayidei Malach. When God took us out of Mitzrayim, because the Torah emphasizes that it was God who took us out, that means not by virtue of an angel. Balei al yaday saraf, not by virtue of one of the seraphim. Balei al yaday shaliach, and not by virtue of an agent or emissary. Ella rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, bechvoidei uva'atzmei, on His own, God Himself. In full glory and full honor, God Himself took us out of Mitzrayim. So the question is, what are we excluding here when we say, Lo yal yedei malach, not through a malach. Okay, not through a malach. No, not just that. Lo yal yedei saraf. And then finally we emphasize, Lo yal yedei shaliach, not through an agent or emissary. So those are the three things that we are ruling out. It's three different possibilities through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have taken us out of Mitzrayim, and we rule out all three possibilities. What's the difference? Is this just poetry? We're just using language? What's the difference in a malach, in a seraph, in a shliach? It's a reasonable question.
What's a seraph?
A seraph is a word that's used for certain kinds of angels, malachim. Seraphim v'chayis v'fani akedish. You say it in your davening every single day. The truth is that there are 10 different levels of malachim, 10 levels of angels, or celestial creatures. But here, we don't go through a whole 10 levels. We don't talk about Eifanim, Eifani HaKadosh. We talk about these three levels. We don't talk about Ishim. There are other words to be used. If you wanted to throw every word in the Hebrew language, you could have had more than Malach, Saraf, and Shliach. And yet, for whatever reason, the Baal HaGadah only chooses these three terms and says, we want to emphasize, Vayetzienu Hashem Elikeinu, Almighty God took us out. That pasuk comes to rule out three other possibilities. So, what is it? There's many, many answers to this question. I'm going to share with you the answer of the Abarbanel in the Hinnis HaGadah Zevach Pesach. And we'll talk about what the Maharal says. And we're going to, the Rebbe also, you know, sends you off to take a look in the Al-Sheikh, and the Kol Yaakov, and the Yaivitz, and the Gro. So the Abarbanel says like this. Lo yayidei malach, not through a malach. Who's the most famous malach?
Gabriel.
Michal. What kind of malach is Michal? What kind of malach is Michal? Michael, the angel Michael, the archangel Michael. What kind of malach is he?
Huh? Protector.
He's a good news. What else does he do? Protector. Huh? Chesed. So the Abarbanel says that here the Jewish people have to be protected. Who would protect them? We're talking about the Jewish people going out of Egypt. So who would take them out of Egypt? Who provided deliverance, for example, for Avraham Avinu when he was suffering from his bris milah? Who brought him? Who provided the deliverance? Who provided deliverance for Lot when he had to be saved from the fiery inferno that Lot, that Sodom became?
Michal.
He's the Malach of Chesed. It's Malach who brings glad tidings, brings good news. He brings the idea of saving, salvation, redemption. It's Malach Michal. So here it says, Vayetzienu Hashem in Mitzrayim. Naturally, if God took us out of somewhere, who would you say that is? It would have to be Michal. He says, no. Lo yadei malach. Then he says, Lo yadei saraf. What would the saraf's job be? Who is the saraf? So the Abarbanel says the saraf would be the Malach Gavriel, the archangel Gabriel. What's Gabriel known for? Gvura. Gvura, destruction. Who destroyed Sodom? Malach Gavriel. So early on in world history, or Jewish world history, these malachim feature fairly prominently. Gavriel has jobs. Bechol has jobs. So the Jewish people have to be taken out of Mitzrayim. Why don't they just leave? Like, what's the problem? You want to leave Mitzrayim? Go. You can't just go. Why not? Because you couldn't escape. Because the taskmasters were very formidable. So if they're so formidable and so frightening and so scary, how are you going to get out? The answer is Egypt got bludgeoned and beaten. Who would be sent to destroy Egypt? Who would be sent to carry out plagues? Gavriel. Incidentally, it doesn't mean that all along Malach Michal and Gavriel were not engaged and involved. It means in the very end. Because going out of Mitzrayim and the plagues are not one and the same. There's one thing about plagues that happened. Mitzrayim was softened and the Jewish people were spared. And then there's something else that happens when we actually leave. When do we actually leave? After the 10th and final plague, Makas Becheiros. So Makas Becheiros, that is what we call the final stroke. And that's what we're referring to. V'yetziyenu, we went out of Mitzrayim. We're not referring to the process that softened Mitzrayim or paved the way. We're referring to going out of Mitzrayim. So going out of Mitzrayim is v'yetziyenu. We speak here about, so he says, no, it was not through a Malach, it was not Gavriel, it was not Malach Michal. So then, who would be Shliach? Who would be an agent? No, so here we talk about Malach Matatron. Matatron. Matatron is the archangel. He's the angel who can balance opposites. He says, Shmai Kashem Rabbi. He is like the closest representation of divinity itself. So the thing is that to go out of Mitzrayim, if the Jewish people need to be saved, who's going to do the saving? Michal. If there's Egyptians that need to be punished, who will do the punishing?
Gavriel.
Because like when Avraham Avinu needed the Malachim to do different things, how many Malachim came along? Three Malachim. What's the answer? Why did they call three Malachim? Because one Malach can't do two jobs. What do you mean? In the story, one Malach does do two jobs. The same Rafal who brings healing, the same Rafal also later on goes and saves.
Well, it's a different job.
Ah, so he can't do two jobs. The answer is not he can't do two jobs. You give Malach as many jobs as you want. What every Malach, Malach is like a machine. The machine can only do one thing. It's a single-minded thing. If that's what it's built for, that's what it can do. So if you have a robot that fries eggs, he can fry eggs, he can't clean. It's a singular focus. This is a Malach of saving, it's a Malach of saving. It's a Malach of destruction, it's a Malach of destruction. That's all. That's all it knows how to do. It doesn't have fuzzy logic. It can't analyze the situation. It can only do what you program it to do. And the Malach Amar, they're programmed single-mindedly. So the saving angel cannot be a destroying angel. Matatran is the only one who really has like serious artificial intelligence. Matatran can go either way. Matatran can size up situations. That's why he's considered the archangel. Shmoy Kishem Rabbi. So Hashem says no. Not when it came to take Adam Mitzrayim. There was not Michal, it was not Gavriel, it was not even Matatran.
Why do they call the third one a shliach?
Because a shliach, shlucha shlabim kamaisei. A shliach is like the one who sends him. So the only malach that's really godlike or has the ability of differing perspectives and realities is matatan. So that's, he's the shliach. Malach is a malach, is a malach. A sarf is a sarf. The matatran, that's the malach, the shliach is the one who's like really. Now the Barbinol acknowledges that this is all from Chazal. He's not making this up. You know, he puts it into the simple language. Simpler language, but this is what our sages say, what the midrashim indicate, and that's what the meaning of the pasuk is. Le'ed malach, le'ed svarof, le'ed shliach. Maharal of Prague has a much more practical way of explaining this. He says, a malach, when somebody says, "Oi, like a malach came and helped me," what do they refer to? Like a miracle. The malach is not limited to the physical material reality. So the malach, a malach means divine intervention, miraculous intervention. So he said, no, this was not a malach. This was not somebody who came, something that came, a miraculous intervention. That's malach. What's saraf? So he uses very interesting language in Maral. And I'm going to go on a limb and maybe try to interpret it into modern terminology. He says that there's a power of energy that can incinerate everything. So it seems to me that we refer to, I guess, what you would call in today's day and age, nuclear energy. You're talking about manipulating or playing around with the energy that holds all the neutrons and protons together. You're not talking about a conventional, what we call a conventional situation, a non-conventional tinkering with reality. So there would be, malach is just, okay, miracles happen. The plagues are miracles. And then you would say, saraf. Saraf is when you're dealing with The energy has been changed. The energy with binds together. All of the neutrons and protons and molecules, the whole subatomic structure, the whole nuclear physics is all held together with energy. So that energy would change, and if what happens when you mess around with what keeps everything together, you have a nuclear event. That's a non-conventional. That's everything shifts. It's all infectious, and all of the when the subatomic structure is melted, everything melts with it. That's called nuclear fallout. And then he says, "V'loi al yedei shaliach." This would be the idea of nature. Stuff happens. That it happens to be exactly at this time, this happened, the other happened, and so on and so forth. They tell a story that there was a Spanish Murano, a Jew who hid himself from the government. He was living in Portugal, actually. And the king loved him very much. He was very dear to the king. And what happened is that he was discovered, a Jew. So he was, of course, arrested. And the king, after they convicted him that he should be burned at stake, auto de fe, the king said, I need him for another year. I have to get everything in order. So fine, so they stayed the execution. He was remained in prison for another year. Then the day of execution came. The king said, another week, I need another week. He just kept trying to buy time. And then the day of execution was supposed to be. He said, another day, give me another day. And then there was no more days. And the king left town. He left Lisbon. He didn't want to be there. He made some kind of excuse. He left Lisbon. This story is a story from the Baal Shem Tov, but the thing is, the history corroborates it. If you Google the story of the Great Fire of Lisbon and the great earthquake, is exactly what happened. What happened is everybody was there in the center of town of Lisbon. It was going to be a great big burning and so on and so forth. And he was led down in this hideous clothing. They used to dress him up in San Benedetto, I think it was called. And they tied him to the stake, and they were about to burn him, and all was a massive earthquake. And basically Lisbon burned. The whole city burned. It was tens of thousands of fatalities. So in the chaos of this earthquake, the guy escaped. And he came to Eastern Europe. Nobody knew who he was. And his theological question was, did God make a miracle? Or from the beginning of creation, was an earthquake supposed to happen at this time? He said like this, if somebody can prove to me God made a miracle, then I'm going to become an observant Jew. Openly, I'm going to embrace my faith openly. If it can't be proven, nobody can prove that to me, so then in that case, I will remain a hidden Jew. I'll observe things quietly behind the scenes, but I'm not going to go. That was his thing with God. And nobody could give him satisfying answers. He went from one godly soul to the next godly soul. Nobody gave him a satisfying answer. So finally he decided, he heard this man called the Baal Shem Tov, lives in the Carpathian Mountains. He set out for Mezhebush to go speak to the Baal Shem Tov. He came to the Baal Shem Tov's Beis Medrash, and he saw over there that there was a fellow standing by the horses. Who was this? This was Reb Zev Kitzis, one of the great disciples of the Baal Shem Tov. So he saw Reb Zev Kitzis, and he said to him, he thought maybe he's the Baal Shem Tov. So he started to ask a question. He said, you know, you're looking for my master. He's inside. He walks inside the Baal Shem Tov study. The Baal Shem Tov said, oh, Shalom Aleichem, the nobleman, the Spanish nobleman, or the Portuguese nobleman. Right away, he saw the Baal Shem Tov Ruach HaKodesh. And then the Baal Shem Tov continued and said, and as to your question about how Hashem arranged your saving, the guy with the horses could answer your question. So he went back outside. And he comes to Reb Zev. He said, Reb Zev Kitzis, okay, I went inside. He told me something back outside. What's the story? So Reb Zev said, I don't understand your problem. He said, what's the difference if the Eibishter tinkered with nature and at the exact moment when you were supposed to be burned, that you get. Or that the Eibishter arranged it, that your execution should be stayed a year, a week, a day, and the Eibishter arranged it should be that your execution was exactly at the time when from Sheshes Mea Maisa, from the beginning, this is the earth was encoded. That's what's the difference, he said. Either way, it's a miracle. So the nobleman was very impressed with this answer, and the story goes that he became a chassid of the Baal Shem Tov. Who knows? Maybe he's the censor sitting around this table. That's the story they tell. What's the point of the story? What I'm trying to make. Point is, Teva, nature, is a big thing. So a person could say that Moshe Rabbeinu staged the Kriyas Yam Sof exactly when it would be high tide, low tide. If you think high tide, low tide is a new idea, the Ibn Ezra talks about it. And he calls it stupidity. He calls it heresy and stupidity. And he says if you follow the story of Kriyas Yam Sof, you know that could not be the case. It doesn't fit. But it doesn't add up. The story doesn't add up. So if either you believe the story or you don't believe the story. But if we are to say that there was extraordinary phenomena that just happened to happen, everything just happened to happen at the right time, at the right place, would that not be extraordinary? It would also be extraordinary. Nobody's that lucky. Everything just happens to fall into place. So this is what Maharal says. Maharal says, whether this would be a total miracle, whether this would have been a nuclear event, whether it would have been just nature, but natural disasters that all occurred, he says, that's not how Hashem, not how Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. The Alter Rebbe in Lechut HaTorah connects us to the worlds of Asiya, Yetzirah, and Bria, which are different levels of divinity, different levels of divine consciousness, worlds with different levels of divine consciousness.
According to the Maharal,
yeah.
So the story of the Baal Shem Tov really begs the question, so really what is the difference, whether Hashem did it himself or he did it through those.
So according to the story of the Baal Shem Tov, there's a difference between Malach, Saraf, and Shliach. And he says, what's the difference? Really, in the end, there is no difference. But here we're saying it's like the HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydi v'atzmi. That's the difference. Here we're saying it's none of the above. It's not a miracle and it's not nature. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydi v'atzmi. So you're saying l'may nafkimina, the end result is the same anyway. In the end, we're free anyway. So why do we have to say this?
From our perspective. Because, I mean, if it's nature, it's concealment to us. If it's Hashem direct.
In the end, we're free. In the end, we leave Mitzrayim. So if we have to leave Mitzrayim, what difference does it make if Hashem took us Ayyadei Malach or Hashem took us Ayyadei Shliach? So the Rebbe actually addresses this question. But first, the Rebbe points out something else. And then we'll answer this question more directly. It says here in the Haggadah that Lo Ayyadei Malach, Lo Ayyadei Sof, Lo Ayyadei Shliach, El HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvedi Atzmi. How do we know this? Shenemar. Because it says, what does it say in the Pasuk? V'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh. This is speaking about Makat B'chorot. It says, V'avarti. Who is V'avarti? I went through the land. B'layla hazeh, in this land. V'hi kesi. I struck kol b'chor be'eretz Mitzrayim. I did this. B'chvedi v'atzmi. So the Rebbe notes that when the Baal Shem Tov, when the Alter Rebbe talks about this idea in Tanya, and he says that Hashem himself got involved in taking us out of Mitzrayim, because he wants to demonstrate in the 46th chapter of Tanya how a Yid should contemplate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for him. And when you contemplate God's kindness to you, there'll be reciprocity. You'll also reach out to God in like fashion. So he said, imagine that you're like a person, a homeless person, a vagabond, filthy, starving, and the king himself, all of a sudden, alights from his carriage, and he himself, the king himself, takes you into his own personal house, and he himself bathes you, and he himself dresses you, and takes care of you. You would never be able to say thank you to that king enough. Nothing you would ever do, no amount of loyalty, no amount of love and adulation would ever suffice. So he says, that's the story. That's exactly Hashem. Le'edei Malach, le'edei Saraf. And there, the Alter Rebbe brings a different pasuk. The Alter Rebbe brings the pasuk, Ve'eded lahatzili. I went down to save him. So the Rebbe asks, what's the difference? How come in the Haggadah we use the pasuk, Ve'avarti? And in Tanya, when the Alter Rebbe wants to bring out the same point, it seems, why wouldn't he use the style of the Haggadah? Why do you bring a different pasuk? So the Rebbe suggests that in Tanya, the emphasis is on Ahavas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, God's love for us. This is how much God loves us so much that he did it by himself. Like the famous person who changes the baby's diapers. Why? He says, I don't do diapers. It's my baby. It's my grandchild. So because it's my child, that's why I do diapers. I don't know you do diapers. I don't do diapers. But I do this kid's diapers. In other words, we want to emphasize HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself being the one to save, so we get it across the idea of how much Hashem loves us. Le'idach, conversely, when it comes to Mitzrayim, we're trying to emphasize here how powerful, how dark Tumas Mitzrayim was. That the impurity of Mitzrayim was so deep, it swallowed the Jewish people, almost to the end. It was like the equivalent of what we call dark matter. It swallowed everything up. That it was as if like nothing could contend with this darkness. Hashem created such a powerful darkness that a malach, a saraf, or a shliach would have been sucked into the vortex. And the only way to break out of Mitzrayim was HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvedi V'Atzmi. Because the darkness was so great. So here we emphasize the impossibility of the situation in Mitzrayim. How the fact that we were born is a statistical impossibility It didn't make any sense. Even a miracle couldn't have done this. A nuclear event couldn't have made us into a nation. This had to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu Echvedei V'atzmei. So in Tanya, we're talking about Hashem's love for us. Here in the Haggadah, we're talking about the power of Mitzrayim. How Hashem saved us from Mitzrayim, how Mitzrayim was impossible to save.
So that's kind of how it reaches us.
So what do we learn from this? What's the takeaway? And here we're going to finish off on a different occasion. The Rebbe said the takeaway is this. When it came to saving us, regardless of how you look at it, Hashem got involved himself. He didn't say, quote unquote, it's beneath my dignity. I don't do diapers. I can't do this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chvei Deva Atzmei did it. Why? Because B'nei Yechid Yishla HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we're like the only child, God's only child. So the Rebbe said, a Yid has to know that when it comes to life, you apply the principle, Dayei Le'eved Li'yeis Kirabe. A servant should be like his master. You don't have to be more than your master. I heard a story that there was a certain chassid who was sent off to do a job, and the job was very difficult, and it was not the kind of life he had hoped for himself, and he hardly had an opportunity to learn anything. And he came to the Rebbe and he complained that his learning and his davening is suffering. He's not able to have the kind of spiritual pursuit that he would like or enjoy or desire. So the Rebbe said to him, what should I say? I also don't have time for myself. I also don't have the same spiritual. The Rebbe said, Dayei Le'eved Li'yeis Kirabe. You'll be like your master. And the similar story told with the Friedrich Rebbe, I think it was Reb Chacha Fagin came to the Friedrich Rebbe during the darkest days of fighting the communist regime. And it was just like the circumstances were unbelievable. And he told the Friedrich Rebbe he doesn't have a chance to learn anymore. He will sit and learn. He wants to. So the Friedrich Rebbe said, Ich will sit and learn. And the Friedrich Rebbe started to cry. So the Rebbe started crying. So the Chosse started crying. And then he dried his face and he said, okay, back to work. Dayei Le'eved Li'yeis Kirabe. Who is ultimately Rabbi? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the message here? The message here is that when it comes to taking out a Yid who has fallen into the lowest of Mitzrayim, the person will say, oh, a Yid who is in the lowest of Mitzrayim, I'll send a Shliach. I'll send a Sorov. I'll send a Malach. I'll get somebody to help this person out. However, the message for us is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if I did it, you could do it too. And the Rebbe says, we have many stories of Gedolei Yisrael who rolled their sleeves up and did everything they could to help out the simplest of Yidden. Why? Because it's B'nai Yechid Yishla HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when it comes to helping out another Yid, you don't send somebody else off, you yourself roll your sleeve up. The beautiful story told by the Rebbe in the first Maimer about the fourth Rebbe, the Rebbe Marash. The Rebbe points that that time was very short. He passed away when he was 52, it was his talkus. He was sometimes finished davening 7:30 in the morning. For the Rebbe to be finished davening 7:30 in the morning, it's like... He was a very, very busy person. Every second was measured. And yet on a certain occasion, he traveled all the way from White Russia, from Lubavitch, all the way to Paris. And there he walked into a large hotel, entered the casino, and he saw a Jew who was sitting and drinking non-kosher wine, and he's playing cards. And he went over to him, he looked at him very sharply, and he said to him, Yayin Nesach is metamet malev ha'amayach. Non-kosher wine, it desensitizes the Jewish heart and mind. He walked out. And this person was so shell-shocked by seeing the face of a tzaddik and hearing these words that he came running after the Rebbe and he wouldn't, so to speak, rest until in the end he became a full Baal Tshuva. When the Rebbe said over the story, the Rebbe said, and today his grandchildren are observant Jews. So why did he have to do that himself? He could have sent a chassid. Rebbe Marash knew that to get through to this guy that needed to be, the Rebbe himself had to go. And so the point for us is that next time you think that something is an infradig, need your dignity. Somebody else could do this one. Remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chvedei V'atzmei did it. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chvedei V'atzmei, none of us is more honorable, so to speak, than God. If God can get his hands dirty, if God, so to speak, in the metaphor gets involved, so it is with taking a Yid out of an exilic, a Mitzrayim situation. And on that note, let's go do it.